So Father God, just help us as we look at your word this morning, meditate upon it, that it'll be food to our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, thanks for praying for me. I have got it. It's been great for about a year and a half, and I dropped the tablets down. I thought, oh, I can do that, these now. And this week I found I couldn't. so it did give me some jip this week. And what is it? It's called the suicide disease. But I learned something, that when you're poorly or when you've got pain, number one, nobody knows your pain. Now, I learned two things. Nobody ever knows your pain. And you can say that for your sickness, unless they're in the same as you at the same time. So nobody knows your pain. And then number two, nobody wants to know it either. Did you know? You can tell them you've got this and you've got that. Now, a friend of mine said, he's a pastor. And we're retired pastor. He's got to have a Whipple's procedure, which I've never heard of. Have you heard of it? Yeah, they take it's about a 7-hour operation. I'd never heard of it. So I went back. Well, I looked it up. So I did check it out. But most people say, oh, that's a shame, never mind. And they don't bother, do they? And so this morning, I just want to really remind us of stuff, to be honest. What's in your heart? What's in your life? And also what's in other people's lives. It's quite interesting what the Word of God says. And we're looking at Ecclesiastes, and it's chapter 3, and verses 1 to 11. And here the writer says this, to everything, you've heard this, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in all that wherein he laboureth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And of course, this is what it's all about. And he has set, he's writing here, he has set the world in their heart. Do you ever question stuff that happens in life? You know, what's happened to yourself? Or what's happening around? Or what's happening in the world? We all do, don't we? And so did this man here. Do you know who wrote Ecclesiastes? Solomon. He wrote Ecclesiastes, and that's the son of David, King David. And he questioned everything. And even as Christians, it's only natural that we question stuff. If you've got an inquiring mind, if you sit and you think. And I remember my uncle making an interesting statement regarding his life. now, my uncle had a little girl, a little babe, and died when she was very young. And he always kept that there can't be a God because of that. And I can remember telling him once, I said, you need to trust the Lord. And he started to say, oh, well, it's nice for you that you've got a faith. Have you ever heard people say that to you? It's almost like you can go into a shop full of all different faiths and you can pick this, pick that. And as long as you've got a faith, it's nice for you. But I don't just want a faith that's nice for me. I want a faith that's the truth. And that's vitally important. Now, what's interesting, there is truth in every faith, you know. You can look at all the faiths and there are elements of truth. But only one said he was the truth. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, look, I said, listen, if I said to you, I believe in, there's elephants, pink elephants that fly down the bottom of my garden. And when I die, they'll carry me off to La La Land. You wouldn't say, well, that's nice for you, Dave, to have a nice faith like that. You'd think I was mad. And it's the same with what we believe. And we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Do you know, I don't know about you, I stand back, I'm a bit of a watcher. I also watch when people, you know, when we worship. But listen, all of church is worship. When we come around the word, that's worship. Our hearts are towards God, aren't they? And I watch people. I'm a bit of a people watcher. And I check what they do, what they say. Interestingly enough, I had a text, and it said this. Is David Baker still alive? So I said, well, I am, aren't I? I think I am, I know. And it's a Jehovah's Witness. Now, there's Jehovah's Witnesses opposite us at our church, and I pray for them regularly. Lord, save somebody out of there. And so this text came, and he's about 40 now, and he's in Telford. But this is what he said. His wife had come out, and I went, yes. And this is his words, not mine. He's been it from a child. And he said this, I stood back from the cult that I was in. Isn't that interesting? And he said, as you can imagine, I am now a Christian. Now I haven't met with him yet. And he just said this, but I remember Dave Baker used to talk to my dad. So he remembers we used to have discussions. I don't often, it's very difficult with Jehovah's Witnesses to have arguments. I often say to them, if they knock the door, I'll say, listen, you've got 1 minute. I said, if you were selling me double glazing, I would want to know why you got the best double glazing in the world. If you come to my door with something interesting to say, I want to know in 1 minute what you've got to say that's really important to me. You got 1 minute. I'm dying in 1 minute. That's what I say. And in fact, the one bloke said, we went, there's a judgment of the just and the unjust. And I went, oh, I'm unjust, what can I do? Oh, I'm dying. Oh, I'm dead. And that was it. I said, you've told me the unjust and just, that's all you've told me. What hope is that to me? I said, what would the Apostle Paul say? I said, if you ask the Apostle Paul any problem that you were going to put right, your life is going to be changed, and he would tell you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Why can't you say that? It's so simple. Anyway, I haven't met him yet, but it is interesting. He said, I stood back from the cult. Stood back. It's good to stand back and look at who we are and what we're doing. So I told my Uncle John, I said, listen, it does matter what I believe. Sadly, he didn't believe, and 5 years ago he had COVID and passed away. But he did say this. He said, I don't know where I'm from. I don't know why I'm here. And I don't know where I'm going. And guess what I said that means? That means you are lost. I said, you're lost? I said, Jesus came to save the lost. Wouldn't you think he'd respond to that? No. In fact, one of the policemen said, what's the purpose of life? What would you say? What's the purpose of life? Now, somebody said to me, he just said to me, he said, what's the purpose of life? What would you say? Anybody? Look, it doesn't matter. You might not be spot on, but I'm sure you'll be close. What would you say? To have a relationship with God. I said that. I said to be reconciled to God. Now, the Scottish Catechism says it's to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To enjoy God. I've probably told you this. I was at the conference once and I saw somebody who I knew. And he'd been to preach at our church. He was a pastor at a church some distance away. And I said, oh, do you still have two services on Sunday? He said, no, we just have the one. And so we have it early. And then after that, they can go and enjoy themselves. And I went, I didn't say anything. I just looked. And do you know, if you've got any sense, you can see what somebody's thinking, can't you? And he knew what I was thinking. I said, that's interesting, isn't it? They can go and enjoy themselves after church. Why can't they enjoy themselves in church? Lord, help us. I tell you, we need to enjoy him. And so, I want to look at this, what Solomon says here. And he says this. He says, God, he has set the world in their hearts. Now, whether you're a Christian or whether you aren't a Christian sitting in here today, God has set the world in your heart. Now, what have you got in your Bible, Pastor Nigel? Eternity. So I did look it up. It does mean eternity. Now, that's interesting. So that means you've got eternity in your hearts, but the people who don't know Jesus have also got eternity in their hearts. But it all depends on what you fill that eternity with that determines your destination. And that's what I just wanted to just ponder on this today. You see, he said, well, there's a time for everything, to be born, to die. I've known folks dying. Haven't you thought they've died too young? And I go, Lord, I did a funeral for a little three-year-old girl. And that wasn't easy. And I think, Lord, why is she gone so young? There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's time to mourn. There's time to dance. There's time to keep silence. There's time to speak. And he thinks of everything. He's thinking all the time, this brilliant mind of Solomon. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. I thought of church. In church, there's huggers, aren't there? Who gives a hug? And there are shakers. Who's a shaker? Likes to shake the hand and not have a hug. I thought there's huggers. So Solomon knew about this a long time ago. And he said that, it says, the Bible says, that there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. And the queen of Sheba came with all her entourage with her. And she said the half had never yet had ever been told. She was trying to catch him out, thinking, he can't be as great as I've been told. But she said not even the half had been told. So it gives us a bit of insight into the measure of the great king. And so in this checking out, he says this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He's actually saying that everything is almost a waste of time. He sees pleasure, he sees enjoyment, he looked at wisdom, he looked at madness, he looked at everything, he looked at folly. Vexation of spirit was all it brought him as he checked everything out. And he said that with much knowledge, there is much sorrow. And that is true. The more you know, the more sorrow you have, especially if people keep telling you about their stuff. And he thought about all this. He thought, one generation passes away, another takes its place. What's the purpose of it all? The wise man, the fool, poor man. He saw the unfairness of life. And he repeated, all is vain. He looked at oppression, at anger. He looked at laughter. He wrote about princes and servants, the words of the wise and the fool. And do you know how he knew a fool? By his continual talking. Wow. I get caught out for that, I'm afraid. Always yakking. There are days of light, there are days that are dark. And he's contemplating all this. But he says they're all vain. They're empty, they're unsatisfactory, they're transitory. What's the purpose of it all? He asks. Each person spends as a shadow fleetingly this life. No sooner they hear, there's time to go. And as a shadow diminishes and disappears with the setting of the sun. That's what life is like. This is Solomon. And he had the most brilliant mind, the wisest man who ever lived, obviously outside of Christ, was Solomon. So he looked at everything, tried to conclude it all, and a bit like a philosopher and psychiatrist tried to check everything out, don't they? And it's not only the last two verses of this book that he wrote, Ecclesiastes. He does come to a conclusion. And that's why you've got to be very careful of what you read. Because if you read, you can say, well, that's it, all vanity, we'll go home, waste of time. Couldn't you? That's what he says. But he does say this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So he does come to a conclusion. And so, how were people saved before the cross? How were they saved before the cross? So, and again? I can't hear you shout. I can't see where you are even. Oh, the law. That's right, by keeping the law. So that's how they were saved then. That's how they gained paradise. And so he's, but until this point, he's raising loads of questions, uses rhetoric, and he weighs up everything. What's happening? And he says it. He says this: what profit has he that worketh in that wherein he labours? So he sees the travail, the employment and the business that is given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And in verse 11, he says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. And he says, he hath set the world in their heart. And that's really what I want to, us to consider. He set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning. Now, God is too great, too vast, too amazing for us ever to really comprehend who he is. And what he's saying is the vastness of God's work, no man can find it out. You know, if you think of, if you just think of the animal kingdom, the reptiles, the bird life, all sorts of reptiles. And God has created all this stuff, and all the plants, all that we can see. God is just so amazing. How in this tiny slot of time that we have can we understand the expense, the expanse, God, of God's great work? And in the midst of trying to fathom it all out, he says this: but God has set the world in everybody's heart. And this world, as Pastor Nod just said, means eternity, everlasting, the vanishing point, time out of mind, concealed, perpetual. So he is saying this, in everyone's heart, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, pardon me, there is eternity set in that person's heart. Doesn't matter who they are, it's in their hearts. And that's an amazing, if what you think, what he considers, it's an amazing thing that he saw. And mankind will never be satisfied with what he's got. Do you know, some people follow football, don't they? That's another thing that really makes me mad. Sometimes you go to a conference and get somebody talking, and they're talking just normally about Jesus and blah, and they say, oh, and our team yesterday, we played so-and-so yesterday, Man United, and we won. And they get all excited about it, and then they go back to preaching. And I'm thinking, hang about, you're more excited about your team winning yesterday than you are about the word of God that you're preaching. And so, but the champions last year aren't the champions this year, maybe. And so everybody's looking. They want that thing to happen again all the time. So olam is the word, and it means concealed. You may not be always able to identify it, but within the heart, in the very depths of each one of us here, there is eternity. And it's not something that just passes away. The spark of eternity is in every human being. They might help you when you talk to somebody about Jesus, because in their heart they have eternity, but they don't have Jesus. It just might help you. You might say that to them. Say, you know, in you there is something called eternity, and you will never be satisfied till that eternity is filled. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing, he says in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 8. And you'll hear people say, you know, all the time, you know, you might have children. If you've got a child, the child says, I need a pair of Nike trainers. Well, they don't need a pair of Nike. They can have get a pair from Aldi, couldn't they? But they won't be very happy with that. What they want is that. And you can have the latest house design, all sorts you can have. You can have the latest phone, the latest computer. You know what happens. You've only got to drive it on the road, and after about 3 months, you see a new model out. You think, oh, it's got nicer lights than my car. And it stops without you having to stop it, and all this type of stuff that they have. Load with the technology. And in our hearts, there's always that desire to have better, to want what's out there. And it's almost like this vanishing point. I think I've told you before, ladies will say, I haven't got anything to wear. That doesn't mean they haven't got anything to wear. It means they haven't got anything new to wear. There's this desire in everybody for something greater and just more wonderful than who and what they are. I don't know about you, but if you're in the garden, you ever look up and see an airplane, you know, just skidding across the sky? Do you ever look? I do. And I look up and I think, I wonder where they're going. I wonder what they're thinking. And I can't see because I'm too small. And I can only see the jet just with a trail behind. And you might carry on in the garden doing a bit of work and, and suddenly it's gone. Gone. But it hasn't gone. It's still going, isn't it? But it's gone from my eyes. It's gone from my sight. And there's one, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, you can use it at a funeral. And it talks about somebody in the harbour, and you watch a sailing boat, and they set off, and you just wait on the harbour, and off it goes. It goes over the horizon, and then you say, it's gone, but it hasn't. It's still as long in the hull, as broad in the beam, as high in the mast, and as full in the sail as it was when it left the harbour. And there's this thinking in Solomon's mind, this eternity that he says that God has put in everyone's heart. There's always this desire in us that we want to know what's beyond a certain point. I like going to Scotland, and in the remote areas in the west coast, in the Highlands, there's always lovely scenery, and you think, I often think, what's behind there? And I have been fishing some years ago, and I've been fishing, I've caught nothing. And I've looked at the other side, and guess what I've thought? Have a guess what I thought when I saw the other side of the loch? I bet I'll catch something the other side. It's better over that side. And I got on the ferry, because the ferry was free. So I got on the ferry, put me right on the other side, and guess what I caught? You're absolutely right. Nothing, not a thing. But there's that in our hearts, looking for something that's beyond ourselves. It's always this great. And it really hit me when I've just come past the cemetery. I couldn't believe how many flowers there were as in the cemetery, you know, folks have passed on. And I thought, there's obviously folks who love those folks. I thank God that I know where people who love Jesus have gone. You don't realise you are in the greatest thing you can ever imagine in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just remember when Dad's coffin went down, I can remember saying, there's something better than this. There's something better than this. And it really, would you like something funny? Here's something funny about Dad's. Well, after Dad had died, I went to Wombin Funeral Directors, because Mom's gravestone had to come off so they could put the words on. And so she sat there and I sat in a seat opposite. And she said, and what would you like on the gravestone? I said, we're going to put with Christ, which is far better. It's out of the Word of God. And she started to smile. I could see a little, not a big one, because I look at people all the time. And I went, I know what you're smiling about. Do you know what you're smiling about? Fun? She didn't know Jesus. No, she didn't. She didn't know Jesus. So think she doesn't know Jesus, and I've just told her, with Christ, which is far better. Right, if I said about Pastor Nigel, he's with Christ, that's far better, and you go, yeah. Do you not understand? You want him out of here. So it's like, and I knew that's what they were thinking. She was thinking that's what we thought. With Christ, it's far better. Oh, it's far better for us. Do you understand? And I said, I know what you're thinking. And she started to smile. I said, can I tell you something? I said, when my dad's gone, I said, there's no more pain. There's no more sickness. There's no more death. It's incredible. It's wonderful. Do you know what she said? I'd like to go there. And we did start a conversation, but it got a bit, she couldn't understand something about Cain and Abel and why God didn't accept Cain's offering. Started that. But then she said, this is perhaps not really the funny part. She went, right, with Christ, which is far better. I can't wait. That's £3.40 per letter. I said, RIP instead. You know. And I said, no, it's okay. Leave it at that. I'll tell you this, and on his gravestone is with Christ, which is far better. I'm telling you this. If you asked anybody who's gone on before, would you like to come back? You know they would say unequivocally, no, they wouldn't. Where they are is incredible. And so there are thousands and thousands of people down these that have looked beyond, if you like, the normal, the average. You know, like somebody must have thought, oh, I'd like to fly. And if I ask you who were the first people to fly, you would say, all right, brothers. And then what about who discovered radium? Somebody must have been, she was playing about with it. And I said playing about, mixing it up. And it was Marie Curie. And all down the years, you know, folks who have longed after where they are at that present time. Inventors and sportsmen, personalities, politicians, missionaries, business entrepreneurs, all sorts. But it's far more than a natural level that's in our hearts that can be filled. And some people are addicts, don't they? And sometimes that's just to hide the pain, to fill their lives, and they become addicted to alcohol or drugs or whatever it might be. Tell quite a few folks are into New Age stuff these days, aren't they? Big time. And, you know, they have dream catchers, stones and whatnot. Oh, it's incredible. And they live their lives. But they never, ever feel this eternity that's in their heart. And so they realize there's a greater aspect to it. And yet they never get about to do anything about it. I remember when I was teaching at primary school, there was a book that, you know, the kids used to read books, obviously. And there's this little thin book with like a Mexican on the front with a sombrero on. And the Mexicans in this, what, village or town, inner town, they found a hole. So the mayor came and said, oh, they need to fill that in. So they filled the hole in. And, you know, next day, there was another hole. So he came on and filled that hole in. Well, this happened for a few days. And eventually he said, there's something funny going on here. So he watched to see what was happening. Do you know what was happening? Can you guess? Fun? Well, what they were actually doing, they were digging a hole to fill the hole. Digging a hole to fill the hole. And it sounds funny, but you know, we do that. We'll fill our hearts with stuff, but we'll never fill it unless we fill it with Jesus. He is the eternal one that truly fills eternity. You all know that text. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have. You carry everlasting life. Even if you pass away in this life, you carry with you eternal life. Everybody talks to you, they have eternity in their hearts, but they don't have eternal life with Jesus in their hearts. And it's up to us to tell them about this. See, Augustine said, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. And that's exactly for us. And I just want to pick some scriptures out just to remind you of what you carry in Jesus. You see, Jesus did ask the disciples once, will you also leave me? I mean, Jesus must have really felt, because a lot of his disciples left him, didn't follow him anymore. If you look in John 6 and verse 66. And then he asks them, will you also leave me? What does Peter say? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words, what? Of eternal life. And we believe and are true that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Eternity lay in having Christ. He was sure. I want to make sure that you're sure. And if you're sure, then you can tell people who've got eternity in their hearts that the only way that can be filled is through Jesus Christ and knowing him. And Jesus said concerning his followers in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We do not realize how great it is to carry eternal life within our hearts, in our lives. And God gave power to Jesus, John 17, verses 2 and 3, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And what is life eternal? It says this, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life. That's what we can offer other people, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And you know this one, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. See, eternity never stops. Look, if you drew eternity around here, if we started there, this corner here, went all around here, and all around the church, and we put our lives, you wouldn't even see where our lives were, because eternity goes on forever and forever. And I thank God that my eternity is absolutely sure because of Jesus Christ being my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He has the words of eternal life. And then another one. Then this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. See, they will try, and we can do it. We can try and fill our lives with all sorts of stuff. And you see, it's not just a one-off. When you come to know Christ, it's not just enough to say, that's it, I got saved 25 years ago, I've never gone to church, I don't read my Bible, and I don't pray. What would you think of that person? You'd think there was something not right, because the eternity they have would want to read the Word of God, would want to attend a prayer meeting, would want to come to church for fellowship and to worship together. And then, as we conclude, 1 John 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So I've told you what you already know, but it's good to be reminded, and it's good to remember that when you are talking to people, they do carry eternity in their hearts, but they don't carry eternity with Christ. They will have an eternity separated from him in hell unless they come to know Jesus Christ. So shall we just pray? I don't know if all of you are saved. I know we call it being saved if you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. If you believe that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, he died on a cross, why? That our sins would be forgiven, and that we might have our names, as Pastor Nigel said earlier, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you want that to happen to you, to turn from sin, to turn to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the one who will fill that eternity in your life, which hasn't got him at the moment, and he will fill it forever. Is there anybody you want to say, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life? Just raise your hand and put it down again, and then later we'll pray with you. Is there one? Okay, so I trust all of you know him. So, Father God, I pray we will remember who we carry. We will remember what we carry. And we will also remember, Lord, those who don't know you yet. They carry eternity, but they don't carry it. It's not the true eternity that will spend it with you. And we pray that it will help us as we talk to others, as we walk this life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.